Hope it's recording now. Yes, should be. Okay, so let's start with the typical technical information, which I'm doing at the beginning. So I did send to all of you, I hope to all of you, this information sheet, which is also in COPPA. And what I wanted to say is, I'm doing this course together with Eija Laukkarinen. She is doing the exercises, I'm giving the lectures. And I think she wrote you an email today that even if you did not register in CISO for the exercises, this might not be possible anymore, we don't know. You just can come, no problem. It's the same Zoom link, and you should come because of this red text here. So you have to do at least 15% of the maximal available points. So probably like 4 points you can have for each demo. And so you should do at least 15%. I want to encourage you to start at the beginning. The questions are more easy in the first part of the lecture, and they're getting more and more difficult. So if you want to have your 15 points for sure, you just better start from the beginning solving exercises. And why I'm so eager to let you solve the exercises, because doing math is like learning a language. And if you don't speak, then you can't really learn the language very well. So you speak while doing your demo, you think about the things much more deeply, and you understand much more if you do it yourself than just listening to me. And I think it's very helpful also for passing the exam. So just come to the demo, do the exercises. And if you are not able to do that, if you are, I mean, the demo is in Zoom, but if for some reason you cannot take part once, you can always send the written exercises to Eija. But please don't do this all, because she would be overloaded for work. So if possible, just come to the demo. She will provide you also model solutions in COPPA. I didn't tell about COPPA yet. I guess everybody knows. If not, you just unmute yourself and ask me, okay? Or ask me afterwards. So all the information is in COPPA. The demo questions will be in COPPA, and the solutions, and also the lecture notes, which I'm going to use. And I keep quite tightly to the lecture notes. Maybe I explain one or two things more, but mainly the lecture notes gives you the information. So if you cannot understand or read my handwriting, just check out the lecture notes. It is not without mistakes. I just corrected this morning a couple of mistakes. Still, if you find some mistakes, I would be glad to hear about that so that I can correct. And there are some more information. So the lecture notes is partially based on the book of Lamberton Lapierre, Stochastic Calculus and Finance, Applied to Finance, and a little bit to Bingham and Kiesel. This is more demanding. So there's not much taken in the moment from this book. And since we are in Finland, and if you want to talk about finance to your friends in Finnish, then you will suddenly notice that you don't know the terms in Finnish. So if you want to look up how all that stuff is in Finnish, all this special notation we use, then just go to the lecture notes of Tommy Sottinen. So this is not an exchange of ours, because it's a little bit different, but the terms appear there as well. Okay, what is good for you apart from this 15%, if you solve exercises, for example, 80% of the points which you can maximal get, you get 4 extra points for the exam. So for example, if you, the maximum points you can get is 20 points, and the 4 points are additional. So if you have like 16 points in the exam and you have 4 points from the demo, you get 20 points and you have for sure the best grade. So the best grade is for 18.5 points and higher. So I put here infinity because 20 plus 4 is bigger than 20. Okay, just a joke. So these are the ranges for the grades. And my last comment before I start with the lecture is the, okay, it's appearing on the wrong desk. Let's see if I can get it here. Yes. So this is the web page about teaching and probability. And Laura asked before the course if we have next year this finance course again. So probably we have, but I haven't put it yet onto the web page. So all the other courses are there. And as I wrote already in the email, if you are a mathematician and you want to go to the stochastics line, and if you have not done probability one or two or end two, then I would recommend to do this first, because then what we do here is just more fun. Otherwise, you have to believe me what I'm telling you, and you should not believe me too much. Okay, so that's my long speech at the beginning. So let me now start. Just need to get my cursor in the right position again. Ah, let's do it like this. And I'm trying to get now the sheet. Here it comes. Okay. So what do we do in this course? How can I explain? So we start with the title. Stochastic finance in discrete and continuous time. And the emphasis is on discrete in the moment. So almost the whole part will be in discrete time, where I explain all the concepts and so on. And in the end, if it depends how much time we have, my plan is to do the Black-Scholes model a little bit. So first insight into the Black-Scholes model, or Black-Scholes model, maybe. Because this is the most famous model in finance in the history somehow, and I want to at least give you a glimpse on that as well. Okay, so what do we do in discrete time? We try to understand, for example, what is a share price? So I'm trying to get this in here. No, where is it? Yes. Yes. So I tried to get yesterday a picture of the Amazon stock chart. So these are from Amazon, or share price or stock price. And you can see from 2017, if you can see that, if it's not too small, it goes until today. And we see that this is this reeling movement. And after 2020, somehow it goes up all the time somehow, but here it goes really up. And I guess this is due to the pandemic, because people used Amazon a lot. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the shape. So this wriggling shape. So how can we, as mathematicians, make such a wriggling shape with our means, with our tools? How can we simulate that? And in such a way that it really gives the most important features of these share prices. So what is so the question is how to simulate. The curve. And if you want to simulate the curve, we are probably not going to do this in the course, but we want to understand the theory behind. So we want behind the simulation. So what is an important feature? If you think it's now 2000, if you are, for example, here, maybe I should change the color. 2020, of course. At some point here, then you would only see the curve until this time, because you don't know the future, right? So you cannot know that because of the pandemic, suddenly the price or the share price of Amazon even goes more up. And this is a feature we want to model in mathematics, that we cannot predict or cannot know anything about the future. And you will see how we do that. And how can we get this kind of irregular movements? So it goes up and down, up and down. And if you take another share price or another time interval, then it's still this wriggling, but it might be, well, a different shape, of course. Okay, so this is our aim. We want to understand how we can, what is behind mathematically or how it can be explained. Of course, we cannot cover all features, but the most important we can. The real models which are done today are sometimes much more sophisticated than what we do, but the main features we can handle. Okay, and then, because actually this is a continuous time, so this is a continuous function, right? So you would imagine that first, if we have discrete time in time, if you have discrete times, then we just see a couple of points. But if you make the points finer and finer, then eventually, at least on the graph, you don't see anymore that you have just points, but it looks like a continuous line. And that is what we do in the end. We don't prove that, but what is true is if you take this discrete time model and you make a scaling and a limit, then you get the Black-Scholes model. That's why they are connected. We don't prove this, but it is, for example, in the book of Lambertin Lapierre. Okay, so that was a long story what we will do. So let us start. So we don't only want to simulate that curve, but the main thing what we do is we want to know what is an option in from the mathematical point of view and how we can compute the price of an option. So that's why I should start with that one. Maybe not red. What is an option? I think I have also students from business school, so you probably know that much better than me. I'm just giving a naive explanation, which is enough for us as mathematicians. So there are certain options, for example, options on raw materials. And so far still the most common is probably oil or wood or whatever. Wood, like this. And also food. For example, as our example to think about, we trade in bags of wheat. I don't want that much. Thank you. So, why does one want to make an option on wheat? What's actually the spelling? Well, doesn't matter. Okay, so imagine you are a producer of bread and you need wheat to produce your bread. So you buy from the farmer. That's an old story for maybe 100 years ago, but maybe it works still like that a little bit. So you want from the farmer a guarantee that the wheat is not changing too much its price. And that's why you make a contract with the farmer that in spring, let's say, that in the autumn when the harvest is done, you can buy a certain amount of these bags of wheat from that farmer for a pre-agreed price. So contract. So buy N bags of wheat. Probably like that, right? This looks strange. Four. So each for the price K. Now, what could happen? It could happen that there's a bad harvest, and actually everyone wants to buy wheat, but there's not so much wheat available, and that's why the prices go up. But you have your agreement, and you can still buy your wheat to a low price, maybe, or to a pre to this pre-agreed price, which might be lower than the actual market price in the autumn. So you have a benefit of that, and the farmer would not give you this contract without having also something out of that. So you have to pay for this contract. So this contract, which is actually the option, the opportunity, so to say, option is an opportunity, has the price CCO. So if now there's a bad harvest and the prices of wheat go up, then at least the farmer who made the contract has gotten this money CCO so that he can compensate a little bit that he, in compared to other farmers, he has to sell the wheat to the price K, and maybe on the market it is 1.5 K or something like that. Okay, so this contract is an option. So an option is a contract. And this would be a so-called call option. Because you want to buy something. Yeah, and we said already, there are two cases. ST, which is the price of wheat. Bags, I should say, of one wheat bag at time t. ST is greater than K. Then, so we need more space. Okay. What happens if it's greater than K? Then you have the chance to buy the buyer uses the option and Spice for the price K. And nowadays, if you just trade, then you would immediately sell this bag of wheat for the price ST, and you would earn the difference ST minus K. But if you really want to have the wheat, then you buy the wheat, of course. And the other case is that ST is less or equal to K. Then you just simply do not use the option. And not using the option, the language is you do not exercise the option. So if you want to have wheat, you would just buy it for the price ST, of course. And not for K. Okay, just imagine now that you are just interested in making money, so you would immediately sell. And the question is, what do you win or lose? So the cash flow at time T. That gives you or gives us the so-called payoff function. So we write function f of st that is equal to the maximum of s capital T minus k and zero. And because we don't want to write so much, we just write ST minus K plus. This is a short notation of the other expression. And what does it mean? Well, what we just discussed. You have ST minus K because you buy for the price of K and you sell for the price of ST. So you have this difference in case one. And you have zero in case two. If you just think of buying and selling, so you would buy for the price of ST and sell, then you would have zero earnings, and you would probably not do that. No reason. Okay. And now is the cash flow. So that's the cash flow at time T of the buyer. And the cash flow for the seller. Sometimes it is a bank. And the official name is the writer of the option. Because maybe in history they just wrote this contract. So, yeah, that would be just the opposite then. I'm not going to do that. So that was the call option. This one. And now we consider the so-called put option. Now you think you are the farmer and you want to sell your wheat in the autumn, and you're constantly worried about the weather and maybe insects or whatever. So you're worried, and you're also worried about your neighboring farmers or farmers in the area which sell to the same companies. So you're worried, for example, that you have a very bad harvest, Or you're worried that actually you have a very good harvest and all your neighbors have a good harvest as well. So then the price of your produces are going down because that much wheat nobody wants and they don't pay that much for that. So you're worried that you can't sell your wheat at the price you would expect. Okay. What do you do? You make a put option. So the farmer might want a put option. So you want to put your wheat bags at a certain price to the, let's say, to the food producer who uses your wheat. Okay, so at time T, zero, that is today, before in the spring, if you start growing your wheat, the farmer makes a contract with the food producer to sell N bags of wheat for K euro at time T equals capital T, so after the harvest. Okay, so now because the farmer wants something, namely he wants a minimum price where he which for which he can sell his wheat, and now he has to pay something. So the price here is again called C. Well, sometimes it's called P, like put option, but doesn't matter. It's just a letter for this option. Okay. Now at time T, capital T, you can guess what's going to happen. So there are again two cases that the actual market price is greater or equal to K. What would the farmer do? Of course, he would not go to the food producer and sell for K. He would sell to another food producer, maybe for this price or to the same. I don't know. The farmer does not exercise his option. And if ST is less than K, then the farmer exercises the option. Okay, so we have the cash flow at capital T from the point of the farmer. This is F of S. Capital T is K minus ST plus. So we agreed already plus is the maximum with zero. So that means that for the farmer it's not so important, but maybe someone buys from the farmer and so on. So one would win if ST is less than K, one would make the win of K minus ST. So that's the case two. And one would win zero in the case one, because one does not use the option. Okay, so we get Now a different function, so the payoff function. Would be f of x is equal to k minus x plus for the put option. So you see, where do we have the other one? I thought I wrote it. So f of x would be x minus k plus. Maybe I should. So that's the function for the call option. And here you see it's x minus k plus, and here is k minus x plus, just the opposite. And that's the put option. Okay. But we forgot during the whole consideration, we forgot actually the price of the option, right? So this is not, so we should also think about the price of the option together with the winnings. So we have this gain for the option holder. And for which is the so-called buyer. And that is for the call option. What I'm going to do here, the so-called European call option. I'm going to tell later about these geographical names. So there exists also Asian option and American options. In the moment doesn't mean anything for you. Okay, and then we have the writer. This is the seller of the option. So call option, that was the first case, that was the food producer who was worrying about the high wheat prices. So what do we have? We have ST minus K minus C0, because the food producer needed to pay if ST is greater than K. And we have minus C0 if ST is less or equal to K. So in any case, the option holder has to pay. And if he doesn't get any benefit, then he's left with a certain amount. So, but usually the C0 is much less than what you would, or some, at least a little bit less of what you could win here. But on average, if the market is fair, on average, if you average over all outcomes, because the ST is random, right, then it should be zero. But we will consider this later. Okay, and now the writer of the option, he would get K minus ST plus the C0 price of the option if ST is greater than K. And he would get C0 if ST is less or equal to K. So if ST is greater than K, then the first part is negative, right? So this actually usually negative for this standing here. Okay, so Yeah, because it is your homework also to do this for the opposite case and to write these functions. I probably have to write these functions as well. Let's see if I manage. Okay, now.
So what do we have? We have the payoff function,
which is now I'm using here, you could also use little x or something. I'm using here st, and st minus k plus would be the payoff function, and k is a positive number. So where do we put our k? Maybe here. And now if you draw this function in dependency of st, so as long as st is less than k, then certainly we get zero here, because st minus k maximum with zero. So you would get zero as long as we are below k. And then it goes up like this. So that would be this function. Okay, but that's not the gain of the buyer, because he has always to pay this C0. I'm looking for another fun color. Okay, so we have to take away the amount of C0 and draw the function like that, which is
the gain.
On the other hand, what would we have here? We still have st,
and
the writer
gets,
let me first mark the k. The writer gets
as a payoff
just the opposite. So using green again, so that would be
k st minus k plus,
but now it goes that way because this is what he has to pay. And the gain would be, because he gets always C0 paid, would be this, and then it goes, okay, it's not the right angle. Trying again. It goes parallel, it goes down. Okay, let's just think it's parallel. So this is the gain. A gain is in an abstract sense. It could also be a loss, as you can see. Okay, so you make such a pictures for the other case then. So we still have a little bit of time. So that was a European call and put options.
You can also distinguish
between what is the exercise time. So here we had just a fixed time, capital T, and if you have fixed t, then it is called European option. And if you can do exercise your option anytime with wheat, that would be a little bit complicated, but with other things it works. So for the wheat, of course, you cannot buy it before it is harvested. But like wood or something, you can, of course, buy and sell earlier. And that would be the so-called American option, which we do also consider, but not in the beginning. American options are a bit harder to work with. So you simply have more choices as a buyer. You can buy it at any time,
You are not, you don't have to wait until capital T. Okay, so why it is called American and European, there's not a big reason behind. It's not meant that American options are traded in America and European option in Europe. You can have it everywhere. It's just the name. Okay, and you can have options on shares. And these are maybe the more common. So share is, or stock is, you own a part of a company. And what you do is exactly the same. So the share, we also denote the share price by ST, maybe. And we can do the same as we did with the bag of wheat. So mathematically, the same as A. So I'm not talking about a lot. So they exist for a long time already, these shares. And one example is standing here in the lecture notes about the Swedish copper mine in the 13th century. And I did also see as a child movies about the ships in UK where they built the ships by the help of shares or something. So they seem to exist already for quite a while. Yeah, and what was the problem, and is the problem still, but not much so much anymore. So before Black and Scholes came and gave a method how to find out the price of the option. So the question is, here maybe you have wondered yourself, what is the CC or which one could agree on? So what is the method to find out what is a fair price for such an option? And in former times, there was no method until Black and Scholes and the third one came and made a method. And then the selling and trading of options was immensely increasing because the people trusted the system more. Okay, so fair price. Of an option. And there are also regulations. Nowadays, the regulations are the so-called Basel agreements. Basel is a town in Switzerland. For the safety. Actually, for the safety of financial markets and banks and so on. And for this, one needs also to have these methods of pricing options and stuff. Okay. That was the introduction part, and we just have managed to finish the first hour, so I think it's time for having a break. So during the break, if I manage to find this again, I'm going to switch off the recording. So if you want to ask a question and don't want to stay forever in my videos, then you can do it now. Okay, where's stop record? Pause.